If in Christ we have a hope in this life, only we are a poor people, that's to be pitied. What do I gain if, humbly speaking, I thought we'd be superfluous? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
Amen. Thank you, Margaret. Just hold on to the mic. Someone asked a question. If one dies, can he live again? The early Egyptians, they believed that, and they believed that statement by the way they took care of the dead. Of course, people were mummified, and then, of course, we have one of the major attractions in the whole world. That's, of course, the pyramids, isn't it? The pyramids is one of the biggest attractions in the world today, and it houses those who are getting ready for their next journey into the next life, isn't it? So the Egyptians believed in that statement that was written hundreds and hundreds of years before the Egyptians made pyramids. Is it possible to die and to live? The Apostle Paul was to say in AD 70, well, if it's not, let's eat and drink and let's just have a righteous time of living, because we've got no hope else to live for. We've got no other hope, have we? Let's just go out and do what we like. Because if there's no resurrection of the dead, then at the end of this life, we just go into an oblivious life, I suppose. I don't know. I know what I went to for my first surgery operation on Thursday, as you know, and thank you for your prayers. And he said to me, are you a bit nervous? I said, yes, I've never been in hospital where I visit people, but I've never actually been in and had anything done. He says, it's okay, he says. Listen, he says, I'm just going to inject you. And I was gone, in oblivion. I didn't get to three. I was totally in oblivion. And I don't even know. I didn't dream or anything. I was just totally in oblivion. The next thing I knew, someone was tapping me on my shoulder and obviously waking me up and saying, it's all over. That is what all that life has got to offer us. I can just imagine what totally oblivion must be like. Didn't know anything. I did anything. Can you imagine immortality like that? Be awful, immortality like that. Well, thank goodness that's not what Paul says. Paul says, let us eat and drink if there is no resurrection. And I thank God that we can answer this question this morning. Yes, you can die and live again. That is, Socrates believed that. He believed there was a life after death. The American Indians believed that. In fact, they used to talk about going to their future hunting ground. If you watch John Wayne. Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, Mohammedism, they all hold that a man continues to exist after death. The problem is the universal belief that a man lives after death, but in what format? You see, some people believe, Mary, you're coming back as a rabbit. Yeah. I said a rat, but somebody said a rabbit. But I don't know. I'm not coming back as a rat. I'm not coming back as anything, because I'm going to be transported into glory. Hallelujah. Some people believe that if I do some really good stuff, Mary, and say nice things about you, it's not going to happen, but if I say nice things about you, then you know, I'll come back as a butterfly, a cow. Oh, you get milk. Yeah. But listen, it's what people believe, isn't it? You see, the question is, should be talked about. Because let me tell you something, death is a frightening prospect if you don't know what's on the other side. And some people say, oh, I don't believe in such thing, because it just helps them to cope with life if they say, well, it's total oblivion. I have to tell you, the Bible, though, tells me, after death, judgment. And you know, in 1887, Liesl, just when you were about young girl, in 1887, it was 22 years after the assassination of the President Abraham Lincoln. His coffin was dug up. It was dug up because there was constant rumours that his body wasn't in the grave. And so they dug it up and they got witnesses. And the rumours continued 14 years later that the witnesses hadn't been good witnesses, so they dug him up again. And they still found he was in the grave. And a few years ago, this is true, a letter appeared in the national news by the Indiana Department of Social Services. It read, to the deceased person, your food stamps will be stopped effectively in March because we've received notice that you've passed away. May God bless you. You may reapply if there's a change in your circumstances. Well, except for an occasion Lazarus, I don't know that too many of you actually took that option up. Although the New Testament does record the rising of five people. Jairus' daughter, the young man of Nain, Lazarus, Dorcas, and a man called Eucatus. Now, listen, very careful, you lot, because Eucatus died listening to a sermon. The sermon went on for 15 hours. Seriously, and he fell out the window because he dropped off. So if any of you drop off now, any of you drop off. It did. It literally dropped off. Just a warning for you. What happened to all those people? They died again. They're all in the grave. And if this guy who they'd written to, well, I don't believe he's going to come out the grave and reapply for his food parcel. But these two illustrations point to us the problem that people have about life after death. About life after death. You see, the difference between Lincoln and Jesus Christ is this. If you call out to Abraham Lincoln this morning, he ain't going to answer you. If you cry out to that man in that grave to get his food stamps, he ain't going to answer you. And I want to tell you, if you cry out to Jesus Christ in the grave this morning, he ain't going to answer you because he's not in the grave, he is alive. But he will answer you from heaven. That's the wonderful thing that we've got to preach, tell you the good news this morning. The difference is Jesus Christ lives and therefore he can answer you. He can change your life. And I want to ask you, what effect does resurrection have for you? The effect the resurrection had in Jesus' day to the religious leaders was this. And Sarah's going to read it for us. This is how the religious leaders answered the question of resurrection day in Matthew 28.
Behold, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had occurred. And when they, the chief priests, had gathered with the elders and had consulted together, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers. Tell people, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we were sleeping. And if the governor hears of it, we will appease him and make you safe and free from trouble and care. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been current among the Jews to the present day.
Thank you. How did they react to the resurrection story? This is how they reacted. Deception. They didn't want people to believe that Jesus Christ, and so they made this horrendous story up. And the questions I ask is, if the guards were asleep, how did they know what had happened? I don't know about you, but a sleeping person doesn't make a great witness, does it? If you went to court and said, well, can I bring John here before me because John can tell you about the events, and the judge asked him, he said, well, I was asleep, but I guess this is what happened. Not a very good witness, is it? The second question concerning this absurdity that if this story was true, why did they bribe the soldiers? Isn't that a favour saying, if you've got nothing to hide? You see, the resurrection of Jesus has to do something to you. You cannot dismiss the resurrection of Jesus. I had a bishop in Durham when I was a young, and he didn't believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, the fundamental faith of a Christian stands purely on whether Jesus is alive. Because if Jesus is not alive, I don't care how many times he's forgiven your sin, it's doing you no good. Does you no good? What's the point in being forgiven from a dead man? The reason there's power and transformation in the gospel is that we believe Jesus Christ has risen again from the dead. And the question has to be asked for you this morning, what does resurrection mean? And to these religious leaders who 3 days ago had crucified Jesus Christ and had taken the mickey out of him and said, well, listen, if you are really Jesus, come down from the cross and we'll all worship you. Suddenly they were faced with the reality that Jesus Christ was alive. And the third absurd question was this. How could the disciples have rolled the stone away without awakening the guards? These were professionals. These were Roman soldiers. These were people who, if the authorities had heard that what had happened, they would have been automatically killed. Did you know that? It was a death sentence to allow a prisoner to escape. And so suddenly, 11 frightened disciples who wouldn't even come to a cross to see Jesus die, because they were hiding in an upper room, except for John. Eh? The rest of them were hiding up in the room, shaking in their boots. Suddenly, they all suddenly decided to get brave, strip off like Superman, and walk down and roll this gigantic stone away, which had been sealed with Pilate's seal. It's absurd. It's absurd. And the next one. If the disciples had stolen the body, why had they taken time to remove the grave clothes? Because, listen, if I was going to pinch something, I would go in, pinch it, and take off. I wouldn't then stand and take all the swaddling bands off and put all the napkins nicely in a row and nicely in the thingy. I would be out there as quick as Jack Robin. The story's absurd. But I want to tell you something. The resurrection is so significant that if the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious leaders of that day had to admit that there was a possibility of a risen Jesus, it blew their theory completely out of the water. And so they bribed people and they took people. The resurrection was absurd. What about our creation? Because, listen, What happened to our creation today? This is what the Bible says. It says not only did the Pharisees and Sadducees know about the resurrection, but the earth felt the effects. It shook, it reeled, it rocked. The ground quaked, the rocks eroded, the earth cracked. Nature was aroused. The earth trembled in sorrow at the crucifixion, but leaped in joy at our resurrection. I want to tell you, there was an earthquake and lightning. And Easter is an earthquake with a stone reeled away from a tomb. And a dead person walking in the streets with an angel sitting there. Easter created a ruckus. And what was it for? Why was there an open tomb? It was not to let Jesus out. It was to let you in. The stone was rolled away to let you in. See an empty tomb. It was not to let Jesus out of exit. He had gone. He had risen. The soldiers had an effect. They stood, the Bible says, like corpses. They shook in their sandals. The ones who were keeping watch over the dead became as dead. They were so scared stiff, they ran back and told the religious leaders what had happened. Resurrection affected the soldiers. It affected the earth. It affected the religious world. And it affects the women. They felt the effects. The women who went to the tomb on that first Easter Sunday were terribly frightened by what they would find, or rather what they didn't find. The women went there and they went, well, how are we going to roll the stone away? It's impossible. The stone is huge. Who's going to roll our stone away? How are we going to put some ointment on our Savior? That's what they were worried about. When they got there, they were worried, of course, at who pinched Jesus. You see, the women, it had an effect. And seeing the stone rolled away from the opening tomb and hearing the angel proclaim that Jesus was not present, he had been raised, they were in deep wonder and filled with joy. For the women, the resurrection meant joy. I wonder if it means joy to you this morning. Does the resurrection fill you with joy this morning? It fills me with hope. And the older you get, it gives you more hope. The guards felt it. The earth felt it. The soldiers felt it. Creation felt it. The woman felt it. You see, the angel came and addressed the women, not the guards. And this is what he had to say to them. And this is what I'd say resurrection means to me. There is now no fear. Jesus used the same words to his disciples a few hours later when he went into the upper room and they were all sitting there and they thought it was a ghost. And he said, peace be unto you. The angel said the same words a few hours before. Peace be unto you. I want to tell you, you can know God's peace this morning. God's peace this morning. Not the world's peace, but God's peace this morning. You can be at peace with God this morning. You can know that there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear in life this morning because the one who has risen again from the dead has said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I tell you this morning that God's presence is wanting to pour into your life this morning on a 24/7 basis. He said, I'll never leave you. I won't leave you in that operating table. And I won't leave you if you don't come out of that operating table. I just won't leave you because I'm alive. Because I've slain the Goliath. And the Goliath is sin. God has slain Goliath and raised him again as Savior from the dead. The second thing the angel wanted to make it clear was that resurrection was certain. Resurrection was certain. There's no if, you know. There's no buts. There's no maybes. No chances. I want to tell you, I know Jesus is alive because he changed my life. You cannot tell me there's no Jesus because he changed my life. I couldn't change my life, but God could change my life. David's expressed today that he's going through some stuff and God's changing his life. He's not going to change his life. David's got no chance of changing life. I know David. He's worse than me. But not worse than Kevin. I want to tell you, you want your life changing. I've got someone who'll change it right now for you. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I know there's a certainty. See, I'm not gambling on whether or not there's a life. I know there's a life because God's changed my life. The next thing the angels wanted the women to know was this. Jesus can be seen. He said, listen, I want you to go to Galilee because Jesus is going to meet you there. I haven't seen Jesus physically, but I've seen him spiritually. My eyes have been opened to the Savior. You can see Jesus this morning through the eyes of faith this morning. That's what the resurrection meant to the women. To the religious leaders, it meant we must put this rumor down. And you know, that rumor existed right up till 100 AD, until a man called Justin Martyr. That rumor went up till 100 AD that the disciples had stolen the body. But what does effect have the resurrection on you as we've come to a close? I want to tell you three things what the resurrection has for me. First of all, my past can be pardoned. My sin is gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Jesus said this, Ed. You can't save yourself. And you can't work your way to saving yourself either, by the way. Just think, if you're going to do some good deeds, it ain't going to work. Because the price is too high for you. You'll never be able to pay your debt off. But it's not hopeless, Edward, because I'm going to send Jesus down to die. And he's going to take your place. And the only thing I'm asking you to do, Edward, is trust him. Isn't that wonderful? I'm not asking you to go around and do great works for your salvation, because that doesn't work either. Just do this, will you? Will you just believe that I died for you? That's all he asks us to do, isn't it? Well, that's not technical, is it? He just says, believe me, I can forgive your sin this morning. I can bring you in a relationship with me. I can prove to you this morning that resurrection is real. That's what he says. And he stands or falls by what he says. I wonder how many of you would stand up right now and said, I've just taken a simple trust in Jesus. And I know that I know that I know that I know that what Pastor's talking about is perfectly true. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I bet some of you would stand. You would stand. And the reason you need to answer this question before you leave this meeting this morning is because nobody knows what eternity has for us, because nobody knows when they're going to die. Don't put it off, because after death is the judgment. But God has power on earth to forgive sin. Jesus has no power in heaven to help you. Do you know that? The Bible makes it clear. Jesus said, I've got power on earth to forgive sin. He cannot forgive your sin in heaven. It's too late. It's too late. God cannot forgive your sin if you leave this scene of time and you go into eternity. There's no coming back. And listen, it was a bit of fun with a bloke with the food, but there is no coming back. No coming back. Second of all, my resurrection means this to me. My present can be piloted. See, I'm in the hands of Jesus now. Whatever he wants to do with my life, he can do with it, because it's his. But he said this, I know the plans that I have for you, Edward. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for your good. Not to harm you, Edward. Plans for your good. I don't know what those plans are. Seriously. I've got my own plans. But I don't know what plans God has for me. I only know this, that by faith every day, I just trust that Jesus is going to work out in my life what he wants to work out. That's why I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Every morning I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and establish it in my life. Because he's better working out my present than I will be. Once upon a time I had somebody who would work out my diary for me. Now I'm in three places at once. I need to be immortal. I can get so confused at where I am. I'm not very good at looking after my life. Even when I was a bachelor boy, even when I was free, Simon, God, those days have gone, mate. But anyway, before I had been ruled by a woman, don't want you laughing at Joshua. You've got your freedom, take it, son, you're grasping it, it's running out. The clock is on. That's all I have to say. I didn't know what I was going to say. What was I going to say? Oh, I was a bachelor boy, Jane. Yes. When I was young. And you know, I had the freedom to do what I liked, and I still messed up. Seriously. I'll tell you one thing and then we'll leave. I thought I'll try cooking. And I saw this wonderful, wonderful Mars bar sauce. Now, I cut the Mars bar up, and I put it in the microwave, and I misread, and I put 45 minutes instead of 45 seconds. And I went into the sitting room, and the next thing I heard was a bang. I can't tell you, it was awful anyway. I'm so grateful that my present life is plotted by Jesus. I'm so happy that Jesus knows what's going on. Otherwise, man, I'd be gone. Let's finish, shall we, with what? Well, my future's everlasting. My past is forgiven, my present is highlighted, and my future is everlasting. Just think, Sarah, you'll see me forever and ever and ever. What a privilege it is for you that you will see me forever and ever and ever. I hope you get to live next door to me. It will be fine. It will be good, love. We'll do some real... You do the chicken. You do the chicken and I'll do the dancing. Listen, seriously, we'll just have a great time in heaven. It's everlasting. You'll never, ever, 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 ever stop seeing me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shout high five. Do what you like, but it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Because of resurrection, it's happening. And this is the verse that proves it. This is the verse. Let's say it together. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air. We shall always be with the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question as we leave now. We're going to watch a video clip. What's a video clip? It's only a 2-minute video clip. And as the video clip's coming on, our musicians will come. I want to ask a serious question. What does resurrection mean to you today? What does resurrection mean to you today? And perhaps you've never stopped and thought about it. You cannot allow that question to go unanswered. I'm going to say a prayer, and then Katie will put a video on. And this prayer just simply says, I want to know what resurrection is. And I believe that I'm just going to take a simple trust. Listen, don't try and work salvation out. You never will. It's a free gift. You may not even understand what's happening. You just want to be sure that if anything does happen, resurrection will happen for you. And it might be an exploration. We're doing an alpha course. So if it is, you just might want to say, God, if you are real, and if resurrection is real, would you reveal yourself to me? That might just be a simple prayer you might want to pray. But for those who want to take a step and say, I want to take the gift of God that he has given me this morning, and he offers you a gift this morning, that you can know the powerful resurrection Jesus, as the women did. I'm going to pray a prayer. And you just say this prayer in your heart. I never understood everything that I said that day. I took Jesus as my Savior. Things worked out as they go on. I just knew I needed a Savior. That's the first step. I want to be sure that you go out of this room today having made no unequivocal doubt that you need a Savior. That's my job. How you respond is your job. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Father, I thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead and that he took my sin away. Father, I ask you to forgive me and to come into my heart that I might know the power of resurrection. Father, today I choose to live for you. I thank you because I've asked you to forgive me for my sin and enter into my life that I am now in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. You said that prayer. I'd love to talk to you afterwards. There's a video clip and then Kevin and Wendy will come up.